Our sponsor today is HBO Now. HBO Now is the new way to stream all of HBO's series, movies, documentaries, sports, specials, and more. And there's no TV package required. Download the app on your favorite device to start your 30-day free trial instantly.
Now it's time for How Did This Get Made? We're gonna have a good time, celebrate some failure, not just be a hater. Could you know you wonder, how did this get made? Let's wallow in the mediocrity of subpar art. Perhaps we'll find the answer to the question, how did this get made?
Hello, people of Earth, and welcome to How Did This Get Made? I'm your host, Paul Scheer, joined, as always, by my co-host, Jason Manzoukas. How are you, Jason?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
Very good. And June Diane Rayfield. How are you, June?
I'm doing well. How are you, Paul?
Very good. We are very lucky to have another Rayfield in the studio today, the host of one of my favorite podcasts on the Wolf Pop Network. Please welcome Deanna Rayfield. How are you, Deanna?
I'm great. I'm so happy to be here.
Can you say that she's also a family member?
Well, I would assume that people would put that all together.
Okay.
I would also assume that my name is
no longer Deanna Rayfield.
Oh my gosh,
Deanna Cheng.
So just.
Whoa, hold on.
Just
I've already messed that up.
But just for the familial, for the sake of familial relationships, June. Deanna June.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good, thanks.
If you can't understand the difference between our voices, it's because they're the same.
Guys, you got double Junes on the show. Yes, Deanna Cheng, host of OMFG on the Wolf Pop channel, one of the best podcasts out there. So take a listen to that.
Man.
Let's talk about this movie. But first, before we get into it.
By the way, you're welcome.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I did not know of this movie. Netflix definitely listened and put this up almost immediately after we mentioned we wanted to do it on the live episode.
So you had never heard Top That?
Never.
Wow.
And Top That, and Richie the brother, is such a touchstone in my life that it registered for me as a reference in what podcast? Is Streets of Fire?
One of them.
One of those from that night. And that mention alone created a firestorm of people demanding. I got emails from people that were like, I need to be the guest on that episode. This movie means a lot to people.
I've never seen it. It paid off to me in an amazing way. But if you don't know anything about Teen Witch and you plan not to watch it, which I highly don't recommend, because it's so easy to watch on Netflix, I'll tell you a little bit about the plot. According to IMDb, this is the logline. Luis is not very popular at her high school, and then she learns that she's descended from the witches of Salem.
Why are you calling her Luis?
I don't know. Luis.
Is it Luis Guzman?
Now I feel confused. Luis.
Guys, I've already messed up
Luis
two names.
Guzman.
I'm already sweating because
oh boy. There's so many names in this movie, too. What's going to happen? Luis Guzman is a teen witch. I don't know. What do I go? Abracadabra? I don't know what to do.
All right. Well, Luis? How do you pronounce it?
Luis.
I am awful. Awful at pronouncing names.
No.
I am terrible about it.
Is that true?
Jacob, yes. I don't know what that is, why I've become that.
I feel like it is part of your identity on the show.
I think it has to be.
The message boards are already like 1 minute in and Paul's already messed up a name.
Twice.
Two. No, I'm watching you read the plot summary. I think if you hadn't read it and if you had just been talking about her,
I would have said Louise.
You would never have said the wrong name.
Right.
That's true.
Yeah, I think looking at Louise, it looks like Luis.
You might have to start writing them out phonetically. L-O-O.
I do it with June. I have
E-E-S-E.
I have a cue card in my pocket of a calendar month, and I know when I look at that, that's how I pronounce June's name.
There are a couple people in our life, and they'll remain nameless. Well, because we don't know how to say their names. But we've gone over the pronunciation of their names.
You have to.
I can't. I'm too scared the listener will be.
Oh, I will say that we all have a very good friend who only calls another a good friend of ours Segunda.
Oh, really?
Really?
Segunda. Well, have we talked about Segunda? And I'll be like, are we still doing this?
Not intentionally.
No, He just like that's his idea of Andy's name. Andy that's, Segunda. And I'm so like, you know that's categorically just not his name.
See, I don't mess it up that bad. I mispronounce aggressively. I think I overlook
it. You just did it perfectly. Aggressively.
Teen Witch. According to IMDb, is about a girl named Luis Guzman, who's not very popular at her high school. She learns she's descended from the witches of Salem and has inherited their powers. At first, she uses them to get back at the girls and the teachers who teased her and win the heart of the handsome footballer's captain. But soon, she has doubts if it's right to cheat her way to popularity. That is the premise. But boy, oh boy, it does not get into the beauty
of this
movie.
She has doubts from the beginning.
She does. But what's interrupting those doubts is 10 to 12 musical numbers.
Sure. Well, it is a musical, but it's also, I think
it's
that...
It's not a musical.
It's not a musical
It's not
all.
A musical in the sense of like a quote-unquote musical, but it is full of music videos.
Yes,
it is full of like
songs. Nobody is singing songs, with the exception of Top That.
Exception of Top That, and I've Got the High School Blues.
I've Got the High School Blues.
What? The guys, the white rappers.
Oh, of course. I'm so sorry. Of
the
course.
White
but
rappers.
But they're a musical number.
No,
in blazers, white rappers in blazers.
Of course,
by the one
about
of them, Robert Blake's son. So
he did it.
He did it. We know it. Next season of American Crime Story, please. No, the thing that I thought, I had the same thought. It's in their head, but it's not, because when she's in the locker room and they're singing the new
I like boys.
She played the boombox.
Well, she played the boombox, and then
she didn't play the boombox.
Yes, she did.
That song is coming from
the boombox.
She says, "I have the music for
the
our
girl
new
played
cheer.
The boombox, not yes. Louise.
Louise no. though is yes. always okay. constantly peeking around lockers and looking.
She's
so
a
it
creep.
Is happening.
Oh like, no, it's, yeah, it's the music is diegetic to the scenes. That's the word.
Oh wow,
but it is not sung. It is not like it's not a musical in the sense of Grease, where people burst into song.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And sing the next like.
So they are though breaking out into large choreographed dance numbers,
routines.
But it's
yes.
not.
So it's more like music videos are happening during the course of the movie.
Right,
that's
that are
right.
completely choreographed and not a fiction of someone's imagination.
Correct.
That's crazy.
Oh, but this movie, the movie begins. With like what seems to me to be like the beginning of a Showtime movie or a Cinemax movie that's going to end in someone getting fingered on the rooftop.
I said it's like a tentative lambada.
Yeah,
it's like they're trying to be sexy, but you also see the fear in their eyes that they might fall off this building, which they clearly like. Just get up there, kids.
Get
put on
the
those
edge.
High heels.
Get on the edge.
Well, are there vocals to that song in the beginning?
That's no,
just all
it's
like
all like
saxophone,
plaintive saxophone
yeah.
music.
They look scared.
I will say that this is the most, and your welcome really applies to me, because for some reason I never got my eyes on this movie, and it is happening like when I was from middle school, like 8th grade
this
to 9th
you.
Grade. This is me. I don't look at this movie and go like, oh, that's funny, the styles are funny, the fashions. It's like, I see it, I'm in
and
it,
I
it's
saw
me.
You too.
You did.
I saw you too.
Wait, did you see me in the oversized grandpa coat she
that's
walked
right.
in? Okay, thank you.
Because Deanna would wear a lot of like giant blazers.
Right.
Yes.
Like giant gray blazers and giant Oxford shirts underneath
yep.
them, and then like a
brooch.
Like tying the shirt together, and then like a piece of lace somewhere.
Absolutely,
too.
A neckerchief around the neck.
Neckerchief.
These are things that were absolute. It was
happening.
Me coming into my style.
Yeah,
you
yes.
know. So
same.
I look at this and I'm like, yup, and yup, and yup.
You were wearing outfits like that. In
I
school?
Was wearing. I wasn't
piano
wearing outfits.
Ties.
No. I mean, like, there's definitely a period where I'm dressing. Somewhere between Ducky and
wow,
you know, like I
yeah.
definitely
Ducky, really?
Like I was like, because to me this is 1989. This movie is the very end of high school for me. End of high school.
Okay.
So like a lot of there was definitely blazers. There was definitely like the blazer
a lot
look
of clothes like a lot of. clothing and layers clothing.
Oh, yeah.
Like vests and blazers.
Correct.
Yeah, skirt and tutu above.
It's amazing that anyone got out of the house in the late 80s because the amount of clothes you have to put on and then the amount of gel and mousse that you have to put in your hair.
Oh,
you're really committing to a long time in that bathroom. Blow drying, of course.
Absolutely. I love those ducky pics whenever it's clever.
I'll send you some. Yeah, no, there was, it really was like this definitely rang a lot of bells for me as well. And this is a movie that I, in college, for some reason, became obsessed with.
Wow.
My friends and I used to watch this obsessively, and my girlfriend and I, for years later, would quote Top That.
Yeah.
We would quote, my favorite line of the entire movie is Richie's line where he goes, I took the liberty of ironing your homework. His line deliveries are masterful.
By the way, he is
one of the finest actors of our time.
He's introduced
amazing.
Eating a chocolate cake under his sister's bed.
Well, I want to talk about Richie in great detail, but
chocolate cake. Did I say chocolate milk?
No.
Chocolate cake.
Everybody's worried now what they're saying.
I just want to say the right thing. Did I say the wrong thing? I'm so sorry to chocolate milk and to chocolate cake.
And Andrew Secunda. Here we go. This is just a Chang.
Yeah.
Here is just a mashup of Richie's best lines. We'll get into Richie here in a second. Here
Richie is the main character's younger brother.
Who is the
annoying younger brother.
Take a listen.
Pinhead?
Touch me and die, lady.
I think about this food.
All you think about is Brad, the red hot lover. Brad, the great. Oh, Brad.
You have been reading my diary again, haven't you?
Brad? Kiss me, darling. Oh, I love to feel your arms around me.
No one's coming to your sweet 16 party.
Because you went to a dance. Dreamer, nobody wants to date you because you're a dog.
A dog.
A dog.
A dog.
I prepared you a wholesome breakfast. You morning paper. I took the liberty of ironing your homework.
That is a little touch of Richie.
That was the other one that we used to say all the time. You think you're hot stuff because you went to a dance. You're a dog.
Richie, to me, has some problems with his eating. I am worried about Richie.
He has a raging eating disorder.
All the characters, I'm worried about them off screen because they all come with extensive baggage. But Richie being the one that is the most unchecked, and I would say the drama teacher being the second one.
Yeah, I'm ready to talk about
the drama teacher.
Love.
Very shortly. But Richie, I do think he's
pre-diabetic.
Neglected, too. Well, first of all, I think this must have been written for a much fatter kid because Richie the actor is not overweight for the amount he's eating.
Well, eventually he will be.
He will be, but he's...
Originally, John Candy was cast in the part.
See, that makes sense.
But John Candy kept on eating all the food.
Yes. And then they also realized he was a grown man.
But Richie does not get any attention from his parents.
No.
It's all about Luis Guzman.
Yeah.
And he's just acting out all over the place.
I don't think he's acting out. The boy is hungry. And he's not even hungry on normal levels. Food, like, why is he
eating?
Well,
he's that, like, neglected second kid.
Yeah.
You know, although Luis Guzman is also neglected. Like, it's, like, the riff is, like, again, 89.
Yeah.
So all the John Hughes movies have happened.
Yes.
So this is basically, what if Sweet 16 had magic in it? No, 16 Candles. Sorry, what if 16 Candles had magic in it?
Like, and threw like a dash of grease too into it. Just a sprinkling of grease too.
And the witch woman from Poltergeist and all the other movies who I love.
I said that this movie felt distinctly Canadian too. Even though it's not Canadian, it just felt very clean and like oddly sanitized. Like even though they were in locations in LA that seem seemingly dangerous, like going over that LA bridge in the late 90s or the early 90s is not a safe place at all. It just felt like they were in a very idyllic setting, and it just felt very safe and no people of color.
Zero people of color.
Like not even extras in the background. Like
No.
It is white.
Yeah, no, white to the degree that there are numerous rap performances perpetrated by, like, very wealthy white people.
Yeah, it is a...
Was the main rapper giving you Bobo like Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, a little bit like a brunette version of him.
Yeah, I kept thinking.
I can see that.
Yeah.
It's interesting, the parents.
Blake, you're talking about.
Luis Guzman's parents, because she, for the longest time, I kept thinking, if her mom was so beautiful, her mom is beautiful.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
At her age, you know, that we meet her, but she was also beautiful in high school. We do find out that she was an ugly duckling in middle school. But why wouldn't she ever lean in and say, hey, let me brush your hair out. Let's try on a few. Like, her mom was so stylish and gorgeous.
Except that her mom is the one that got her that sweater vest. They are trying to keep her
a baby
buttoned up. Because remember, she is also younger than everybody in high school. She skipped a grade.
Right. She's a year younger.
So she's a year younger. So I feel like the parents are trying to keep her a year younger and are afraid of her burgeoning sensuality.
Well, because they said
her sexual awakening.
They said, we found this for you in the young miss department, right? Mm-hmm. But it didn't seem like they were intentionally.
I guess what seems strange to me about that is that her mom is like a sexy older woman who seems to.
We get it, June. You're into the mom.
I love that mom, by the way. Karen Kay from It's Your Movie.
And the dad is Dick Sargent from Bewitched.
Was he wearing eyeliner the whole time?
I don't know, but I also found the dad's relationship with her to be a little strange. Like, he was almost a little too connected to her. For my liking.
Okay.
Whoa, you thought he had designs on her?
No. I didn't know what was going on. I felt like it was odd that they were so involved with her and they didn't care about the second brother at all.
The dad seemed to have a sense that, like, she wanted more and she was going to blossom one day. I agree with you about the mom. I never got the sense, like, when she put a bag together and changed in the locker room, I was like, wow, I don't think her mom would trip out if she wore a cute outfit.
They weren't shown to be, like, strict. Repressive parents. I think that they, if anything, they just seem out of touch. I think that that's what they were going for. Like, they don't know what's cool and hip.
Or
what I would have done is made the mom more like
Frumpy. The teacher.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Well, I felt like the parents were just detached.
Yeah, overall. You know what I mean?
The dad's reading the paper. The mom is, like, getting her clothes that aren't relevant for the now. Like they just seem to me to be classic. It is not unlike the parents in 16 Candles who've forgotten that it's her birthday.
But they're more checked out. Like, they're like, these parents
they're
seem like they're home.
Focused on the other daughter.
Right.
You know?
Where this parent seems like they're home. They're having dinner together. They're having breakfast together.
They did have a birthday party for her.
Which it just seems like, why would you have a birthday party in the middle of a week? Everyone knows you don't
have. That's a bummer
move. Yeah. And even her best friend is super late to the party. The cake has been served.
That girl.
She's amazing.
The best friend is my favorite character in any movie ever.
She's like the 1980s quintessential amalgam. She is Kimmy Gibbler meets one of the ones that's like, you're not
Blossom. She's everyone.
She's that side character in every one of those movies.
Oh, she is so good.
She's hats.
Hats. Blossom hat all day, every day.
Exactly.
And she pulled that hat down and did top. I know we're not at top that, but like that slow drop, I was like,
it's thrilling.
Yeah, it was exciting.
And the thing is, this movie also hits a sweet spot for me of coming of age, high school kind of movies. It's not unlike Patrick Dempsey and what's her name when he gets to become popular. He's driving the lawnmower.
Can't Buy Me Love.
There's a bunch of movies where it is the entire movie is predicated on the artificial ascendancy of a nerd to popularity status, right? And then a fall from grace. And I love this one, and I love it because every single category of person is perfect. You know, friend, her nerdy friend with hats, we'll call her Hats. Hats is great. The popular guys are great. Like, isn't the popular guy's name Jake?
Brad.
Might as well be Jake Lacey from 16 Candles. Not Jake Lacey. What's his name? Jake,
no, that's, I mean, is it Jake Lacey?
Jake Lacey is the actor from Obvious Child. But it is Jake. It is something like that. Anyway,
it is Jake Lacy.
All of these people have, they're fitting all of the perfect quintessential 80s archetypes into a movie that then has all of these amazing weird music numbers and magic. And it is kind of a perfect movie.
But here's my complaint, yes, though. And this is why I will say it's not a perfect movie.
Oh, boy.
Because I would rather Hats want a music career. What I feel like Louise Guzman has done wrong with her powers is she's assuming everybody wants what she does, that everybody wants love. And that's not the case.
Jake Ryan.
Thank you.
I think it would have been a stronger choice for Hats to just want to be a rapper and to want to top that. Same goes for the acting teacher. The acting teacher's already told us she wanted to be a Broadway star.
Right. But she gets
a man. They give her a man. Right. She gives everyone
a man.
Love.
She's selfish.
Well,
she's a teenager. Weirdly, she's a teenager,
but
she doesn't know.
She's selfish in that she assumes that they all want what she wants.
Correct. But as like a 15-year-old would.
Yeah, okay. But I don't think,
you know what I mean?
But
like, I don't think she sets out to demonstrably change, to demonstrably give everybody within their own lives what they want. I don't think she's savvy enough to understand. I think she is just has this weird power and is giving it out into the world.
Can I talk about what I think the major problem of this movie is?
Oh boy.
You're Mr. Miyagi. That is, of course, Madame Serena Alcott. Mr. Miyagi character. Yeah. Teaches no consequences.
Correct.
She is like, do it. Yeah. Let's do it. She's not like, with great power comes great responsibility. She's like, go. Let's be
and
popular.
And give me more.
Yes. And when Louise Guzman comes back and says, you know what? I don't know that I like this. I don't know if he likes it. Me for me. She's like, who cares?
Yeah.
She's
like, be popular. And,
yes.
And the witch doesn't learn her lesson at all. The witch is like, just wants to get her laid, and at the end, you see it in the big wide. She's getting laid by the English teacher who strips.
Oh my god, I missed that.
Yeah, well, it's very small in the background.
But it's full penetration.
Oh. Yeah, because he still has his pants off from the beginning.
And she's inexplicably she's just screaming, "Go towards the light! Go towards the light!"
But I think I think her Mr. Miyagi is bad. Because she doesn't learn any lessons. And their magic is also flawed. Because if she says, you're a dog, then he's a dog. But then other times, to get somebody to fall in love, she's got to say this like Latin poem.
Yep.
And then other times.
Okay. Voodoo doll.
Voodoo dolls.
How come nobody notices she has a voodoo doll?
Well, she's doing it at home, right?
Nope.
Yes.
She's in class. She's sitting in class undressing a large voodoo doll.
Okay, even crazier is what the most popular girl in school does not realize that her cousin has gone missing.
Yep.
Okay, I was trying to. No, this is what I think, because we never learn where he is gone. But I think because the brother turned back after water. And
just assume.
Well, we're going to assume that her powers are not that strong. And eventually his essence hit water. And he came back.
Are we saying if that drama teacher goes on the vacation and there's water there that she'll fall out of love?
She will.
Well,
fall
she
out
gets
of love,
the
yeah.
postcard though that is like we're having the best time, me and what's his name.
This water is a very tricky part of this.
I have to say, I do think with the drama teacher, it did upset me that her life changed dramatically, and I worry about that count or whoever that was she found. Because she was an interesting character in that she clearly had dreams deferred.
Yeah.
Yes, but
yeah.
she was happy with where she was.
Mm-hmm.
And then to take her and to actually project Luis Guzman's own sadness onto her was actually beyond selfish.
Yes.
It was really, that is kind of cruel.
No, she took away this woman's life and gave her like a storybook romance that is untenable for the rest of your life, I think.
Yeah. No, but I think she made it work, right?
She's going around the world. There's going to be water somewhere.
Oh, boy.
Water will happen at
and
some
then what's,
time.
And then what's she going to do? She's going to go, she doesn't have her job anymore. Maybe she can go back to being the receptionist at the Bob Newhart show.
Or Mrs. Krabappel from The Simpsons.
Yes.
The one thing that I thought was maybe a flaw, the thing that I was kind of missing, was that Brad, like she was very, very shallow. Brad never gave us anything except for looks.
Yep.
We never saw one moment where Brad, except for being like, popular, it's hard to be popular sometimes. That was like his one
day. Well, he's afraid to go to college, right?
Yes, and he did say that he didn't know if people liked him for him.
Okay, but that's just hard. That's why it's hard to be popular, like Big Whoop. You know what I mean? It's right. not a real deep dive into who Brad is. We never got to know.
I don't know.
But we don't,
I don't know
Polly
that Brad knows
either.
Who Brad is either.
Well, but
that's
it's a
why
love
you would
spell,
think she would
right?
see him eventually and be like, you know what? He's not that great. But she
that's
kept wanting him the whole time. And I'm like, okay, well.
But if it was a love spell, again, I go back to this faulty magic because she goes, I wish you would look at me. Then he looks at her and goes, I wish you would come over. Then he comes over. Then he's like, help me with my reading test? Like,
yeah.
Did, like, so he was planning to come over and always ask for help? Like, I guess, like, I don't understand how the magic works.
Well, I also didn't understand. We were told that the magic was going to kick in on her 16th birthday.
Yeah.
And then we were told it was because she was wearing a special amulet, which, like, if she hadn't found that, would she ever have?
It found her. I'm sorry, June.
I'm so
the
sorry.
Amulet found
I'm
her.
I'm so sorry. Okay.
When Serena looked her. Into her palm and saw that she was a witch, like yeah. her acting in that, what Serena gave when she yeah. saw her witchness in that palm, I was like, she's like really good.
Oh, yeah. yeah.
Oh, I love Zelda Rubinstein.
So
she's great.
Wonderful.
Here's just an interesting fact about this movie. This movie was a straight up ripoff of Teen Wolf. It was supposed to just be a female version of Teen Wolf.
Oh.
It went so far to borrow the font and lettering for the title, the tagline, and the plot. And that was just in response to Michael J. Fox's great Teen Wolf, which I loved and was shot before Back to the Future.
Well, wait, this was the other thing I was going to say, though. It was supposed to be Friday. It was supposed to be right at her 16th birthday. Then she happened to find the amulet, or it found her. And then it really didn't kick in until it was Friday the 13th.
Wait, that was part of it?
Yes.
Wasn't that all on the same day?
No, I think days had gone by after her 16th
she
birthday.
She had a really tough day because in my mind, I'm like, the teacher read her diary.
And
she
then,
was
by
almost
the way,
run off the road.
Remember that?
That was
terrible.
I felt
no.
for
nope.
her. I was like, this is
yeah.
Because she's
most
also younger than them all. You know, she's a young kid.
But
and
she's hated.
As June said, 1 year. I mean, let's,
1 year.
1 year.
Yeah, she's not that much
I mean, she's 1 year. Let's. It's a cutoff in a school year.
She skipped a grade. And remember when she gets there and the hip hop boys are like, should you even be in high school?
Meanwhile, yeah, with her overgrown that. Jacket, I thought she looked like a grandma, and that's yeah. what they were saying.
Oh, interesting.
But June. June Diane. Not only did she get that red, but she had the cajon to go
the balls
to go after being humiliated in class to creep around and look at him on the football field. I was like,
I was actually like, well, that's where I lose you.
Yeah.
And audition to be
his love interest
in the play.
And give everything she got during that audition.
And crushed. Is what I didn't
do. He's a director.
I didn't do plays in high school or anything like that. Did you audition everybody fully off book?
Oh, yeah, of course.
I don't know.
I was
like, you don't do scenes. You don't like match up scene partners. That was like a chemistry test. But
yes,
I did.
You do. We were matched up in high school.
I think
with
like
chemistry
that.
Tests?
Yes.
Really?
Yes. Like they. Yeah. These were the guys and these were the girls, and they were gonna mix and match to find the couples.
Well, I just love that in the director assigning parts.
Yep.
They pretty much go like, all right, here's the lead, the second lead, and then the assistant costume person is you. Like, that's how you give out parts.
Yeah,
not
no,
a part.
No other below the line things. You're the lead, you're the other lead, and assistant costume designer, Louise Guzman.
You don't audition to be an assistant costume designer. Like, she may not have any talent in costuming at all.
I just want everybody to know you didn't get it.
By the way she's dressed, I wouldn't give her assistant costumer at all.
Slam. Major slam.
But yeah, so we're going to say that her diary was read. She auditioned for the play. She was run off by the road. It was her birthday. No one showed up. And she met the witch all on the same day.
Yeah.
It's a big day.
That's a big day.
Big day.
By the way, when she's run off the road and Brad finds her like in a ditch.
Run off the road because Brad is getting an HJ from his girlfriend in the car.
Yeah, yeah.
By the way,
and how late was it?
Interesting fact.
I don't know.
Brad and that actress ran off to get married after the movie.
Stop.
And they're still married.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah,
congrats to them.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I thought it was crazy where she was like, you don't have to drive me home. And he's like, I know I don't. It's
yeah.
like, actually, you do have to drive her home and you should.
Yeah.
She was hit by a car.
She was run off the road. It's a little different.
Paul, he should still drive her home.
He should drive her home and be a gentleman.
Hey, everybody, we have to take a quick break in the show, reminding you that if you want to learn more about Teen Witch, head on over to slashfilm.com and read Blake J. Harris's article about it. Also, we need to take a break to talk about some of our amazing sponsors. Here's the deal. When you can cook, people like you more. It's a fact. I don't know if it's a scientific fact, but I believe it is a verified fact, verified by me. When you cook, people like you, and guess what? Blue Apron wants to help you cook, okay? But not in that annoying way. We have to go to the supermarket and you have to find all these ingredients. No, 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 no. Blue Apron is going to deliver everything that you need to your door. And guess what? When you make the meal, it's going to be healthier and you're going to save more money than you would if you went out to the store or you would have tried to make a recipe off the top of your head, okay? Blue Apron's got you covered. For less than $10 a meal, they deliver all the fresh ingredients you need to create home-cooked meals. Just follow the easy step-by-step instructions. Each meal can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. No overwhelming trips to the grocery store. No more sad takeout. No matter your dietary preferences, Blue Apron makes it a breeze to discover and prepare dishes like, oh, I don't know, a grilled cheese sandwich on rye with endive, mint, and clementine salad with sherry honey vinaigrette. What? And you're just making quesadillas? No way. Make yourself, I don't know, something delicious like sweet and sour fish with stir-fried rice. It's all there for the taking. You're going to make this all in your kitchen, cook with ingredients that you've never used before, like watermelon radishes and farro and purple potatoes, and recipes are all between 500 and 700 calories per portion. It's delicious and it's good for you. What are you waiting for? Right now, get your first two meals free at blueapron.com/bonkers. That's blueapron.com/bonkers. Blue Apron, it's a better way to cook. And I'm going to tell you something. We do a lot of ads on this show. People come to me and go, "God damn, that was delicious." When I went to Blue Apron, and I went to blueapron.com/bonkers, B-O-N-K-E-R-S, two meals for free. And now back to the show.
How weird was it when she goes back to talk to Madame Serena, and Matt sits on Madame Serena's lap, and then they're like, oh no, this doesn't work. And then Madame Serena sits on her lap.
Well, then they have a good laugh.
I was like, what the fuck is going on?
That was like, I feel like a bit that they did in rehearsal, and then it stuck in the movie. Like, that was like, oh, this will be fun.
Right. It's like, she's a gorgeous face.
But that's always, like, she's all bad.
I know, but like, they could have thrown a pair of glasses or something.
It's interesting. This is also an era where the girl lead who can't be too beautiful but can't be too plain has to be a redhead.
Okay.
Oh,
you know,
right.
You've got
that's
your Molly Ringwald, you've got your Leah Thompsons, you've got your Robin Livelys. They are straddling so that they can be done up and be beautiful, or they can be done down and be a little plainer. But they are not bombshell blondes, and they are not plain brunettes, you know?
It's interesting, because so what you're saying is by virtue of having red hair,
she's ugly
they're
enough.
Already ugly.
They are already other.
They're unicorns in their own way.
They are other. They are something. They are something that doesn't have as much of a stereotype to it.
By the way, we're talking about redheads that are also not true redheads. Like not talking about Anne of Green Gables.
Oh,
we're talking about
Pippi Longstocking. We're not talking about like Pippi Longstocking.
Yeah. We're talking about
like the most sexual being on the planet.
Yeah, we're talking about like. I don't even know how to describe the red, but it's...
Like auburn-y.
It's Leah Thompson's hair from Howard the Duck. It's very similar. It's brown red.
And blonde red at the same time.
It's in that middle zone because that's like, that's the middle zone. That is like, it's somewhere in between, you know, like, and the woman that is her neighbor who's like the blonde bombshell.
Yeah.
And then there's Hats. You know what I mean? And then you've got,
and then there's Kiki.
And then, and you're in the middle.
The blonde bombshell's name is Randa. Anyone want to deal with that? Or?
In the movie?
In the movie, it's Randa.
Randa.
Just cool?
Yeah, it's a pretty cool name.
Okay.
Randa?
Randa,
maybe because she was Randy.
Maybe.
No, it's Randa with an
that's
A. I mean,
hilarious.
I maybe would be Randy, but Randa is rough.
That's weird.
Here's the thing about Luis Guzman's transformation. She, even when she becomes beautiful, she's never able to really get out from underneath those bangs.
Yeah.
But bangs were everything back then.
That was like,
it's so hard to
but like a
believe
side
that,
a side pony and bangs is like too much going on.
First of all, to have your bangs straightened out and to have your hair curly is everything I want all day long, every day. When I see her with a straightened out, blown out bang
insane.
And a curly.
For me, it was everything. The blown out bang is like half of the blowout is straight up.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That's what's up. Did you guys not experience this?
I know. Yeah, we did.
This was all of my high school. Junior high and high school for me was.
A wall of bangs.
A wall of bangs going down. And equally as large wall of bangs going up.
That was Cheryl Hamjig in my high school class.
It was everybody. This was it. This was the height of beauty.
That's a great
bang
picture.
Both ways.
Bang both ways.
Frost, and I'm talking about like 14-year-old girls who had what I would consider to be mom haircuts.
Yeah.
Right.
But at the time, when you saw a wall of bangs like that, were you like,
yes.
Va-va-va-boom. It's true. Honestly, it depended on whether they'd gotten boobs or not.
Right. Okay, that's
boobs
fair.
Boobs still very important to me at that time.
For sure.
I spent a lot of time getting one section in the side up and then making sure I could wing it out. The more defined the wing, the better.
That's what she has in this movie, too, which is like wing out with those bangs. Wow.
You've been listening to Bangs Talk here on How Did This Get Made?
The spinoff of Wig Talk.
The Raphael Sisters bringing you Wing Talk.
But now, I do want to get behind one thing before we get into even some of the other classic moments. Why was she so hated by the teachers? She also seemed hated for no reason.
Well, that's why that one teacher is making fun of her for being late, but also making fun of her for skipping a grade. Like, who do you think you are? You think you're so smart.
I want to knock her down a peg. It's not that's not a teacher thing to throw down the kids who are smart. Like, that doesn't seem like, the teachers seem like straight up bullies.
That teacher was terrifying.
Well, I do feel there were teachers in our high school and middle school who were friendlier to the kids who were average and cool than they were to, like, the smart nerds.
Okay.
But this teacher, it didn't line up for.
Well, like, he also seemed like a nerd.
Yeah, and I don't know why he was so angry at her.
Whipping a desk. And then when she did do the voodoo doll, it was, he walked into a car wash.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah,
oh, that was great.
That was some great physical comedy when he walked in.
Why wouldn't he just feel like he's in a car wash?
That's what I didn't understand. Is that how voodoo dolls work? Where if you take off their clothes, the voodoo doll takes off its – where if you take off the voodoo doll's clothes, the person takes off
– I always thought voodoo dolls had to do with pins. Like you pin one section and then their arm goes this way. You pin another and their leg goes – you know, that's I thought it was more pins.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think for the sake of the movie, that's – I mean, it's more witchcraft than voodoo. So maybe, I mean, like, we'd have to ask real witches.
Now, let me ask this. Was Madame Sabrina a real witch?
She seemed to need a lot of help being a witch. Like, she had a lot of opportunities.
So she was just a fortune teller.
No, I think she was a witch.
Why couldn't she do her own spells?
That's the thing. She was not great at it being a witch. She'd had a lot of time at it, but she wasn't, like, great at it. I mean, why wouldn't she just make her own money? Why did she care how much money Louise Guzman was going to bring?
Didn't she make her own money out of that coal or whatever?
But then if she can just make up her own money, why does she care that this gal who's walked in doesn't have a lot of cash?
She needed to, like, have the double power. She needed to, like, go, I got to hold your hand on all these things. Like, that's why she made her frog into the boyfriend. That's why the house got weirdly interior decorated, but no one commented on.
I couldn't figure that out at all.
No one, she didn't go, oh, you changed your house. Like, no one ever commented.
Was it the same place?
Same place.
But, like, all new interior furniture.
But yet, the witch is like, oh, yeah, we went to school back in 1800 together. Like, she showed her the book. Yeah. So they were together, but one was more powerful than the other.
I just get the sense that she didn't have a lot of skills as a witch, and she needed this youth to kind of help her beef up her potions.
I kind of want to see a prequel with that character going through school. I'm very into it. I would love to see, you know, very cool, very artful, early 1900s, just going around having fun with Zelda Rubinstein.
Like, you could easily take this movie and make a Buffy the Vampire Slayer style TV show based on this.
Sure.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's I no, mean, it's no different.
That. It's like, what was that show where the girl touched her two fingers together and then...
Small Wonder?
No, this is like a girl whose dad was an alien.
Yeah, yeah. Like wasn't that the one that Paul Feig was on?
Oh, was it? Oh, maybe, yeah.
Sabrina the Teenage Witch?
Well, that's a different one. That's Sabrina. Sabrina the Teenage Witch is essentially that.
This. That's true. You're right.
Yeah, we shouldn't even go out of... Yeah, they did
that's
it.
That's this.
They've done it. I'm right.
That's this. Why did she have birth control in her bag?
That was
what
a crazy...
about?
I don't know.
By the way, this is the most sexed up school of all time. Every class was about sex.
Yeah.
I mean, they were always talking about sex, but yeah, they don't explain why she was on birth control.
I mean, some girls needed to regulate their period, but I feel like...
But no, he says it's not used. Doesn't he say it's so not just, been used?
But she's just carrying it around like a condom?
Like, just in case?
Like, I'll pop these if I start getting...
Just in case Brad's ready, she's going to, like, start taking
she
birth control.
And
that's not
together.
How it works. Also, sending out the wrong message. Like, she should be taking them on the off chance
but
that
she does
get...
But you know what? It's responsible for her to be on birth control.
But she's
it
not.
It absolutely is.
But she's not.
Maybe it was a new packet and this was her first day.
Yeah. Like, we missed the scene where she went to the pharmacy?
Maybe.
I love the condom chant.
Oh, yes.
Oh, my God.
Let's listen to the sex ed scene here. This is the teacher holds up an umbrella, and this is what transpires when the teacher is told that she has to teach health, so she immediately has to teach them about sex. Here we go.
Well, now, Adam had one of these. Does anyone know what this might represent?
A Roger, a love wand, joystick, dong, zipper lizard, tallywhack, and trouser snake schlong.
That's enough, Fred. Thank you.
No problem.
Now it's a race against time. Sparky Sperm is loose, and he's heading for the target, Edna the Egg. And when he reaches it, he makes a baby. Yes, that is exactly what we don't want. Not yet. So,
crazy.
Use one of these.
She pulls out a condom.
At all times. It's called a condom.
Condom. Condom.
Condom.
Condom. Condom. Condom. Condom. Condom. Condom. Condom.
That is an insane scene. Because it's
that happens in the movie.
That is
it does.
What?
It does.
It goes to English as a second language for a moment when she's like, condom.
Yeah, and then they chant it. It's so weird.
Well, I guess it is a theme in a lot of these teen movies, though, just the parents and adults being so disconnected from, like, what kids know.
But it almost seemed like they learned condom in that moment. Like, it was like they were learning it, too.
Even though they knew all of the words for dicks.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, condom like, was she's new. Like, well,
condom.
You might know 25 rhyming words for dicks, but I bet you don't know what a condom is.
Well, it started to feel like reproduction from Grease 2.
Which is a great number.
Scene. And I believe that they shot more of a musical number for this.
That
and
broke
then
out.
Realized, is it an exact replica of Grease 2 and had to cut it down.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the number of chairs that were in her bedroom.
Okay.
Or the lack of.
Well, they were in the closet, and we did see how many chairs were in there.
Oh, but that was there was a reason.
Yes, of course there was a reason. Well, because every single family member who came in commented on the fact that there were no chairs there. This is a girl's bedroom. How many chairs do you think she would need
15.
In a bedroom? I guess you're right. There were chairs stacked upon chairs stacked upon chairs.
But do you know the reason was?
I know the reason, Jason. She wanted him on the bed.
She had to get him on the bed for this bell to work.
How many chairs?
That's not my problem.
How many chairs does one even have in a bedroom?
At the vanity.
At the most.
At the vanity. And that's it.
How many chairs do we have in our bedroom?
Zero.
Exactly. Jason, how many chairs do you have in your bedroom?
Six.
You have six chairs?
Six chairs in my bedroom.
Wow.
Most of them just are surrounding the poker table.
I
have a poker table in my bedroom.
Off to the side of the bed.
Just because a bunch of guys play poker there most nights.
And you go about your business. You don't play poker.
Sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't play poker. I'm not a gambler.
They're not ghosts that lived in the house before when that burnt down and used to be a house of ill repute, right?
I don't know.
All right, no, I don't want to get into it. But yeah, your house was actually famous for being a whorehouse gambling establishment in the early 1920s.
It burned down, and a lot of people who were gambling died.
Yeah.
And if you set a table, they will come and they will play. Let's not worry about it.
Okay, sure.
Let's not worry about it. Okay,
so all right.
So six chairs.
Okay. Yeah, they all are obsessed with the chairs in her room.
And where they went.
She's got a lot of room there. I mean, you need to put six chairs in the closet is... That's a big closet.
To put six wicker chairs in the closet. I mean, where those chairs must have just, there must have been one chair at her vanity and then five chairs just
spread about.
Spread about yeah, that bedroom.
Just
spread
for
about.
Guests.
And why was he so opposed to sitting on her bed? He was
well,
really.
To me, if I were him, I would have been like, "Well, let's. Why are we go? Like, let's go downstairs."
Yeah, so
like,
the dining
I would
room
have been
table.
Like, "Why are we going to your bedroom?"
Well, I mean, don't you think that he kind of would like to get in her bedroom?
Not at that point, no.
Really?
He wasn't seeing her any kind of way at that point.
No, not at that point.
All right. I hear you. So animals were harmed in making of this movie, right? We could all agree on that. When they forcibly take a dog and try to throw it into the bathtub.
Yep.
That dog was not trained
like
and did not seem like he wanted to be there at all. Like that dog was, that actually made me feel bad for a dog.
The dogs never want to be there. You're saying that as though, yeah, like they're psyched
well, some dogs
to
like
be
Benji,
there.
Some dogs like Benji are excited to get out in the movie world and do his stuff.
Yeah.
Benji at Marineland, he got
well,
in his
Benji,
own
Well, Benji, notoriously very ambitious.
Yes. Not like a Milo from Milo and Otis, only probably did like one film.
Yeah.
Benji was like in it to win it. Like this dog definitely didn't have the eye of the tiger at all.
Not at all.
No, I mean, he didn't. There have been, and that's a bummer when you have a dog like that take away parts from dogs who really want to be working.
So, I mean, just think of how many dogs didn't get jobs that year.
Yeah, and it's because, you know, if you're not giving it your all as a dog, right. As an acting dog, it's like then leave it open for everybody else. It's not fair. It's not fair.
Were those bubbles just there prior to her turning her brother into a dog? Is that
well, listen,
the deal?
She came home from school. He was eating a giant pizza at the table.
With
the
marshmallows.
The only conclusion.
It was marshmallows? I thought it was giant pieces of mozzarella.
I believe they were marshmallows.
I think you're way smarter than me.
The only conclusion I could come to is that he had set a bath for himself.
Oh, and she knew it was ready to go?
Nope. There is no way that creature kid takes
that. Oh, he's disgusting.
He's disgusting. Like, I feel like they have to trick him into getting in the backyard so they can hose him down.
Yeah, he's like that kind of kid. I feel
he's
like from the
grody kid.
I want to know how old he
Crusty.
Was, the actor was, when doing this part.
Well, he is 70. He is
70
40,
years old.
He's
right
70
now.
Years old right now. He's 42.
Currently.
And he graduated from Yale, and he
what
sold a show.
He
he's a writer. He,
he's so great.
Yeah, he is, let's see. He's done a lot of interesting stuff. He is a writer, graduated from Yale, wrote a few novels, got a series picked up by Fox called Howl, and he's a part of Leonardo DiCaprio's posse, affectionately called the Pussy Posse.
He's part of the Pussy Posse?
Oh, that's interesting.
The kid from Teen Witch is part of the Pussy Posse?
Yep. And
wow.
Yeah, he's part of the Pussy Posse, and here he is.
Like I've seen him before, definitely.
I mean, we're looking at a picture of him
that
here, shirtless,
great.
Shirtless with a martini glass in front of him, smoking a cigarette, hair grown out.
I love that June goes, he looks great. Well, I'm so, he looks definitely, there's like a femininity coming
he's still
through.
A man.
There's
sure.
a manliness. There's a lot going on with him.
I think this guy's amazing.
He said that he really did not like this movie or being associated with this movie until a drag queen told him how much it meant to him.
Oh,
and then
cool.
He said that, I don't take compliments from drag queens lightly because they have no problem telling you what time it is. There's no fucking bullshit with drag queens.
Yeah.
So that made him kind of enjoy the movie now. But a very attractive
His
guy.
Performance is, to me, in my life, legendary.
It is.
He's been in a lot of different good stuff. Yeah.
You think you're special because you went to a dance.
His line readings
are huge.
So perfect.
So good.
It's almost like the director was just like,
do
have
you,
fun
do
and
you.
Do your whole thing.
Can you imagine if you're casting this movie and this guy walks in and does that with these words?
Right.
And like a 1940s
like,
gangsters
you're
walked
like,
in.
Thank God.
Yeah. Well, don't you think that they were like, oh shit, this movie doesn't really have humor. Like if you took him out, there's no jokes in this movie. Mm-hmm. Where like John Hughes had jokes and yep. characters that were mm-hmm. funny. Everybody here is kind of sad. Like ultimately yeah. a sad sack.
A sad sack. Yeah, the mom could have used a little brother in her performance. Like the mom was just
a
so.
A lot of people could.
Okay. Yes, totally.
Shall we get into Top That? The
sure.
first ever rap battle on film. I'm oh. calling it and saying it's the first ever rap battle on film. Let's take a listen to the classic Top That. Basically, Luis Guzman and her awkward, ugly friend, Polly.
Oh, I would not call her ugly.
I'm not calling her ugly, but I'm thinking like that. Like they need her to be
no, I know.
Uglier than Luis Guzman. And so that's how they kind of portray her. But she really wants to get in with
this. I love that everybody's just picturing Luis Guzman in this movie.
By the way, I would love to see Luis Guzman as a teen witch.
Yeah. And then like have somebody be like, hey, Luis, you're acting kind of weird. Have a Snickers bar. And Luis Guzman turns into Robin Lively.
And Hats had a crush on Bobo Ryan Reynolds, right?
Yes.
Which we found out like seconds earlier.
Right. Okay.
And yeah. never pays off, right?
At it the
never
dance.
Sort of pays off at the dance, but again, that's my issue with the movie, that her powers are all sort of like through her own
selfish,
lens. She can't see what anyone really wants.
Well, let's take a listen to Top That.
I'm king, and they know it. When I snap my fingers and these bodies say short, I'm hot, and you're not. But if you want to hang with me, I'll give it one shot. Top That.
Idiotic, disconnected, not respected. Who would ever really want to go and top that? Such a waste of pretty face, but hanging in your nose space. I wish that you would take a look and really stop that. Top that. Well, stop that. I don't really give up about trying to top that. Top that. Stop that. I wish you'd finally take a real look and really stop that.
What's this?
Stop that. Top that. I don't really give up about trying to stop that.
Top that.
And then she walks away from the kids that she likes, seemingly to never have another connection with him again.
Yep.
She just needed
to
top that.
Well, because she's also under like one of Louise's spells.
Right.
She's not a rapper. That she's like, they're looking at them rapping, and then Louise kind of gives her a little like bewitched, like.
But she's like, I wish I could get in there.
Yeah. And Louise gives her a little spell so that she can like top that.
Now that you two relate to the movie, Deanna and Jason, were kids doing this in high school at the time, just rapping by cars and by lockers?
I will say, not rapping, but for sure breakdancing.
Okay.
Yeah,
like
a lot
for
of breaking.
Sure there was a lot of like breakdancing in the hallways of school. That and I might have participated.
Oh my god.
100%.
Please.
June used to always bust my chops about my blossom.
You were Hats.
No, I was Hats.
You were Hats.
I was Hats all day long. But later on in life, she would go up to people. Like, we just have met someone.
Yeah.
Maybe I was trying to make an impression. And she would say to them, Deanna used to dress like a grandma in high school. I was like, oh, okay, awesome. But, like, I was Hats. And that move, when she slowly took the hat down, like, that's everything I wanted to do. That's everything
show
I wanted to
show everybody what's
be.
Under that hat.
Just show everybody what's... I would wear a hat hiding. And a tie and a vest
you would wear,
and a jacket.
You would be accessorized from head,
head
to toe.
What I loved about the cool, when the Teen Witch put on her, like, jean jacket, it was a jean jacket with, like, a swatch of rug.
Yes.
Like a rug.
Yep.
Would,
Paisley.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the interesting thing, because to me, that's very Molly Ringwald in...
Pretty in Pink.
Pretty in Pink. Like, that look we all saw and considered, like, beautiful.
Yes.
Yeah.
But that is what Luis Guzman is giving us in the beginning of this movie is
true.
Molly Ringwald, which was
cool.
Cool.
I
which,
had
well, sort of. She's giving us a little bit of that, but she's giving us the frumpier version of it.
Yeah. Right.
You know, and then when she gets into full on side pony and neon stuff and miniskirts,
then it's like.
Then she's giving us.
More of the 80s kind of, like, or more of the newer thing or 90s?
More of like, I'm trying to think of who the character is that represents it, but like.
She's in more Valley Girl Mall, like
that
kind of
that
thing.
Kind
the girl
of
from the girl from Some Kind of Wonderful, the blonde who was in the Untamed Heart movie with Christian Slater, like Mary.
Not Mary Stuart Masters. Masterson. Because Mary Stuart Masterson is a tomboy. She's wearing like overalls.
Oh, yeah.
And has a short hair hats and plays the drums. And you know that movie was an answer movie because they shot Pretty in Pink, wherein Molly Ringwald ends up with Ducky at the end.
Oh, right.
And audiences, young girl audiences, revolted.
I know. It's one of the most devastating.
We want her to end up with Blaine.
I know.
So they had to redo the movie to end up with Blaine. And then John Hughes was like, you know what? I don't like it. I'm going to make a different movie where the right two people end up, and it is some kind of wonderful.
Oh, wow. Maybe Valley Girl?
See, that's watching Pretty in Pink, to me at the end of that movie, and it is interesting that most young girls felt that way, because I could never shake feeling so sorry for Ducky.
Oh, my God.
I was so devastated.
I'm
sure as a guy, but like I couldn't ever get over that Ducky and her were not going to be together.
Yeah.
Well, didn't they want to make it like that he was gay? Isn't that the new telling of it? Like, he doesn't belong with her because he's gay.
I mean, only because their intention was not that. They shot it so that they would be together. And then had to reshoot the whole movie. They had to do a month of reshoots to unravel it and figure out how to make it work. But it really was, to me, I was like, wait. The Richie Rich Handsome guys win? Are you kidding?
Crazy.
Is there any hope for us fedora wearing, blazer wearing weirdos?
Hall breakdancers? Hey, everybody, we have to take a quick break in the show. We'll be right back after these words from our sponsor. Oh, boy. Are you Roku-ing? Do you Roku? What's Roku? Okay, Roku basically is a little device. It's so tiny, but it gives you access to the biggest selection of streaming channels like HBO Now, plus innovative features like voice search, unbiased search results, and private listening via the Roku remote and your mobile app. With HBO Now, you get all of HBO, including every season, every episode of HBO's addictive original series, past and present, plus the biggest and latest movies before any other streaming service. No TV package required, and it's all available on all Roku players. That's right. Go to roku.com/go/remix to learn more about Roku players and your 1 month free HBO Now trial. That's roku.com/go/remix to learn more about Roku players and your 1 month free HBO Now trial. Today's show is sponsored by Howl.fm. What is Howl.fm? Well, think of it like this. It's Netflix for podcasts, right? They have all the stuff you love. WTF, old episodes of How Did This Get Made, plus they have original new series on there. Stuff that you can't find anywhere else, like this brand new original dramatic series called Fruit, written by Issa Rae, who is the creator of the critically acclaimed web series The Misadventures of Awkward Black Girl. She also writes and stars in the upcoming HBO comedy Insecure. Fruit debuted on February 3rd with a new episode every single Wednesday. So go to Howl.fm for only $4.99 a month. Get the premium subscription. You can get everything. And with the promo code HDTGM, you'll get a full month for free. That's Howl.fm. Use the promo code HDTGM for 1 month free to check out all the great new shows on that brand new platform. Okay, back to the show. Before we wrap up, I do think that there's one thing that we haven't talked about, and I feel like no one's mentioned to me about this movie, but the murder house that he brings her to fuck her, or do whatever, kiss her, essentially, which was the most uncomfortable scene for me. Can we just even unpack this choice? Like, he takes her out on this date, brings her into the park to an abandoned house.
He also, like, runs up ahead, and she's, like, fighting through
sunflowers.
Yeah, to try to get there, and it's really hilly.
And it's bizarre, right? I mean, like that.
Yeah,
like,
it's not
what's
safe.
Sexual about that house.
It's not like I get it.
I get it too.
Yeah.
I get
really?
It. Yeah, I got it on a level.
Oh, did you have those places?
I didn't have any action in high school. So there was a bridge, which you know the bridge, and that people went to and drank, and I never really went to the bridge, but I knew it was there. So I felt like this house was just like the house that everyone went to make out.
Okay.
It wasn't like his idea. He's just following what everybody cool.
But I also don't think it's a rape house. I think it's like, there's a secret place. like in like a field of sunflowers that is like an abandoned place where we can go and be alone.
But when they take off her shoes.
Remember, in high school, you can't go anywhere.
Yeah. Right. I guess, but like to me, it's like when she takes off her shoes, off her shoes and you see that carpet and it looks like, oh, this was a murder house.
I agree
and
with
she's
you.
Like
I
walking up these stairs and she's like in this unfinished room. It does look like this could turn out very wrong.
Sure, for sure. I mean,
and it doesn't feel super romantic until they get into that. Well, the thing that's another bothersome thing for me is too intimate of a kiss. It's too gentle for me.
Okay. Hope doesn't like it.
Gentle. I don't like it.
Really? Doesn't. When he sees like sincere,
gentle
lovemaking on film,
it grosses
it
me
literally
out.
Drives him nuts.
It's also gross when it's, I mean, this is weird, but it's also gross when teenagers kiss gently like adults.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Because
I'm so upset right now.
Forgive me.
I agree.
Forgive
too,
me,
actually.
But teenagers should be like devouring each other.
Right. Yes.
You know, like that is like when you read, when you see and hear all of her poetry about him, like just owning her or whatever, then you see them just like tender kisses. Like,
braces
like,
should be clanking.
It's tender. Yes. It's tender, and that's what was upsetting about it.
Yeah.
I was upset. I was fine with the house. I was upset with his sexy hide-and-seek game because I thought he was hot until
that scene because he was presenting his body like it was a gift from the gods. And it's just
well,
like,
when he's throwing those footballs, his bod is
bod is great. Yeah, don't get me wrong, but I'm not into a guy presenting his figure and doing a striptease
Paul?
For me. No.
June, you don't seem to mind it when I show you my two-pack.
No, I don't like that. And I don't like a guy
I would love for you guys at some point to, like, Paul runs ahead and is, like, stripping off his jacket.
Well, he was being like,
hey, I have a deep V on under this.
Coquettish.
Yeah, like she should have been running up the stairs and he should be like, they flipped the roles. They did flip the roles.
Yep,
like
you're right.
He should have been like, hey, what's, like, you know, she should have been presenting herself, but it was odd.
It was very weird.
Take me. And then that long, it was we hung on it too long.
Yeah. I agree.
Oh boy.
And the fact that she wasn't even for 1 second concerned about like a tetanus situation.
She should have taken the shoes off walking outside in the grass.
Yes.
And put them on inside on the floor. Come on, guys.
Obviously, we had an opinion about this movie, but there are people out there that had a different opinion. It is now time for Second Opinions. All right, these are 5-star reviews culled from Amazon, all about the film Teen Witch. This is from J-Dub, and simply written like this. Teen Witch is the most magical movie of all time. I watch it 3 times a day, sometimes 4 on the weekends. 5 stars. Which, obviously, they're not being truthful, but it is odd. This one's written by Stephanie May. Maybe I love this movie because I was the fat, lonely girl who had crushes on all the cute guys, but they didn't even know I was alive. So I guess this movie was my wish. I can't wait for it to be out on DVD, and I watched today thinking back to that time and smiling that I overcame that awkwardness and found my great guy, me being fat or not. But at that time in my life, I thought the only way I was going to ever get a cute guy to like me was to get handed some magical powers. LOL. But seriously, 5 stars. And then finally, this is by Terry L. I'm 53 years old, and I like most things that have to do with Halloween. The movie Teen Witch is one of my favorite classical movies. I would recommend it to anyone at any age who's looking to see what it's like to be popular, being popular, and then wanting your original life back as it was. Great movie.
Here's the thing, which we didn't even really discuss. She does give up her powers.
Ish.
She throws off the amulet, but...
The what?
She never, her necklace.
You said it, amulet.
How do you pronounce it?
I don't know.
Amulet.
Oh, God, here we go. Amulet.
Tell me how you pronounce that hotel chain.
Uh-oh.
Ramada?
Oh, now you do it, right?
Oh, Ramada.
She's like, I think we got a nice hotel at the Ramada.
Oh, my God.
When June first moved to L.A., she called it Sepulveda. Well, like, it was a crazy
thing. Everybody
Sepulveda.
But she never does anything to woo him back as herself.
Mm-hmm.
So she just shows up at the dance and is just herself and he's into it. But nothing is...
Yeah, it was a total... I mean, look, nothing changed. She didn't go back to a different outfit. She's already cool. Nobody can take that from her. No. So nothing changed.
She doesn't
changed.
Have like a fall from grace.
Well, that is Teen Witch. You can watch it on Netflix. You can read more about it on slashfilm.com. Blake Harris got deep with the writer, director, and some great stories there. Deanna, talk to us about your podcast. Tell us about it
and
where they can find it.
Well, thank you so much for having me. This was really important for me to have seen this movie. You know, I don't like movies in general.
Yes,
so.
Deanna is anti-movie.
I mean, you know, whatever. But
Deanna has told me she does not like movies.
I don't have the strength for them, but this was important.
Just explain it a little bit more. Like,
have the strength to be disappointed. It's like I can sit and watch as much trash TV as you want to throw my way, but if I'm going to commit to a two-hour movie, I have a lot of expectations, and I want too much, probably.
Okay.
And this delivered, so thank you.
Okay, great, great. What was one movie that you felt did not deliver?
Recently.
Steve Jobs.
Yeah.
Disappointed.
So, but you would say that 90% of the time you are disappointed by a film.
But you're perfectly satisfied with like back-to-back episodes of House Hunters International?
Yeah, I mean Real Housewives, but yes.
Oh, okay.
But yes.
Or a two-hour episode of The Bachelor.
Sure.
Okay.
Thrilled.
So it's not about the time management.
No.
Sure. It's about the expectations.
It's about my expectations being really too high, probably.
Okay.
You know,
Is there any way to lower them?
I don't. This is going 5 years probably that I've felt this way. So
this is the first movie you've seen in 5 years.
This isn't first movie, but
she doesn't see movies.
I don't step out and see movies unless somebody, you know, the Steve Jobs I watched with my dad. Like it's only if I
have a reason.
This was important. I loved every second of it. I will watch this movie again.
Oh,
wow. As a non-movie watcher, that's probably the highest compliment.
Absolutely.
As a person who doesn't like movies, that is really high praise.
OMFG, we interview people under 25 and try to stay hip and cool by what they teach us.
This is one of my favorite ones because it's fascinating because I even think, oh, I'm up on enough stuff. But then when you talk to people under 25, you realize how far away you are.
Well, and I will say when we're talking about John Hughes films, like they were so meaningful to all of us for so many reasons. But like what do kids have now to watch? Like they don't have those movies.
Nope. True. They have DJ Khaled on Snapchat.
Like how do they even learn how to be?
Yeah. Or like, you know, I mean, Molly Ringwald was just so important to me.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And
just
I really, love.
She's important.
Yeah.
Well, now a guy who does Family Guy impressions is probably the new kind of.
Or PewDiePie. Thing.
PewDiePie.
And I think something about watching this and seeing the fashions and how people were experiencing life, it's like nothing was ironic. Well, everyone's dead ass.
True.
And I miss that and I feel bad for kids because they don't have that today.
Well, my question is, what are we going to look back on right now in this moment and go, ooh, we wore that? I think that we've actually, as a society, kind of conserved ourselves.
I think you're wrong.
Okay.
We just don't know.
Tattoos. Okay. And everything Kylie Jenner does.
Yeah, I think 10, 15 years from now, people being covered in tattoos will be hilarious.
Yeah, I agree. Oh, yes.
Hilarious.
I'm like so excited for it. I cannot wait.
People are going to be like, look at this. Remember when people just did this to themselves?
There's no way that that's not going to happen.
Absolutely.
Because it's a trend and it's crazy.
There's a great comic book, Brian K. Vaughan comic book called Private Eye. That takes place in a very near future where our generation are the grandparents. So all the old people have full sleeve tattoos and are like look ridiculous.
I guess I don't notice it as a trend. Like in my mind, it's just like, oh, some people have tats and some people don't.
Because there's people now that have tattoos that when you were younger in a million,
never
only like
would've.
Bikers
was,
and,
exactly.
you know.
I guess that's true.
It's
that's
just,
true.
I like
people who
were
in the army.
Yeah.
Right.
Like it was like that
it's
kind of stuff.
It's now just ubiquitous.
Now
everybody
it's like
has
people
tattoos.
Are having like Stewie.
Luis Guzman would have tattoos.
It's already like you can look at it in terms of trends even within tattoos. Like a tramp stamp is now an embarrassing
That's
tattoo
true.
To have.
Yeah.
Right? Versus like it couldn't have been more like hip and cool to have a tramp stamp at the beginning of that, blah, blah, blah. So now, like, how long before all tattoos are...
I mean, this is meaningful to me as someone who's always debated getting a tattoo.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, at my wedding in November, two of my girlfriends from college, we were laughing. They're in formal dresses, and they both have that, like, Pamela Anderson barbed wire tattoo around their arm because that was the tribal stupid thing, and they're horrified by it. But that's what it
was. I also think in, like, 5-10 years, there'll be a way to, like, one time go and just have a tattoo just, like, removed.
Yeah. June's tattoo that she wants is on her arm, and it says, got balls, like it's, like, milk.
Yeah.
But it's, like, a picture of, like, two testicles. And I think that
I think that will stand the test of time.
No, it won't.
Like truck nuts?
What's truck nuts?
Truck nuts is, like, when they hang off the back of the truck, and they look like
balls. It looks like a little scrotum with balls.
Roger that.
Jason, what do you want to tell America?
When does this come out, Paul? Today?
Today.
Tonight, I will be on a television show called Brooklyn 99, I think it's called. Brooklyn 99. I'm on the next 4 episodes. Check it out. It's very funny.
June, that's Diane.
I don't really have anything to plug, but I will plug Grace and Frankie. That's on the first season's on Netflix, and the second season comes out May 6th.
Wow. That sounds very exciting. And I just said that only to stall for my own thought about it. I didn't have anything to plug. I don't think I have anything to plug, but
it
I will tell.
It seemed like you were genuinely hearing that.
Oh, I'll also say, if you want to watch me make out with Alison Brie, go watch How to Be Single.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course.
In theaters
now. I haven't seen it yet, but I can't wait to. Wow.
You know what? I don't have anything to plug specifically, but I'll tell you this much. Listen to the mini episodes. They're new, they're improved, and we listen to you. That's right. We have a whole section of the mini episodes devoted to things that we might have missed or things we got plain wrong in all of our episodes. So if you think we missed anything in Teen Witch, let us know. Go to the Earwolf forums, and I will read the best ones on the next mini episode. So much for you to check out there. Also, follow us on the good old Twitter at HDTGM and on Facebook for all of our latest announcements, our live shows, and all that good stuff. And a big thank you to Avril Halley, who pulls all of our amazing clips, and we're going to play some clips and load some stuff up there. Also, Nate Kiley does all of our research, and then Cody, who did all of our engineering, and everybody here at Earwolf. Thank you all for listening. Thank you guys so much. See you next time. Bye-bye.
What movies deserve to be in the all-time canon of great films? How about American Beauty?
What struck me watching American Beauty is how much it felt like a period piece, even though it's only 16 years old.
Forrest Gump. This movie gets painted as a conservative movie, but this movie just hates everybody. Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Amy Heckerling cares about teenagers and understands teenagers.
Star Wars. C-3PO is terrible, and he treats his best friend really poorly all the time.
But why is he his best friend? They're just two robots. Are my blender and my toaster friends?
Join the conversation on The Canon with new episodes every Monday. Listen on Wolf Pop Howl or your favorite podcast app.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.